Have you been injured in an accident that was probably your fault? Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferndorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage, and Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine, and they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.
Let's talk about art.
I like it.
You are listening to Mindfire with Maverick Matthews, only on Fringe FM.
But it's your job to bring your gift and to mend the part that you can touch.
It's unbelievable to have this kind of power.
What you got ain't nothing new. This country's hard to break. You can't stop what's coming. Ain't all waiting on you. That's vanity.
Reaching you with the most unnecessarily long synthesizer introduction in all of podcasting and modern radio, and yet somehow necessary. My name is Maverick Matthews, and you are listening to Mindfire on Fringe.fm. Please consider going to Fringe.fm on the internet and donating to support this podcast and others. And if you truly enjoy Mindfire, consider listening to my other show, Pepper for Your Steak, available on iTunes and Spotify. You can also visit maverickmatthews.com and donate there or find out more information. All right. The ads are out of the way. This week, I have an amazing electronic music set for you, a solid 25 minutes. Very excited to share that. But first, another story. Now, this show showcases some of the stories from my decade-plus career as an outdoor guide throughout North America and my decade-plus career in Hollywood. I'm going to give you a Hollywood story this week. It's about Prince, artist formerly known as. Now, I didn't get to meet Prince. I wanted to. But Prince and I crossed swords. Crossed swords with a few A-list Hollywood actors. Dane Cook. You know what? It's shameful to just list off my Eskimo brothers. And I'm not about name-dropping Prince, Dane Cook, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what I'm going to tell you, actually, is a story about one of my first jobs in Hollywood. Now, my first real job in Hollywood was producing Duck Dynasty, and because of extremely severe non-disclosure agreements, I can't tell you much about that show. But I can tell you what happened after I got back from Louisiana, after spending 8 months in the swamp. When I got back from Louisiana, I thought I was going to be set. I was coming off the number one reality show of all time at the time, our peak during my tenure, season 5, I think we hit 14 million viewers. That was more than all the news agencies combined. That was more than anybody was doing. Now, if you were to go to Wikipedia or something and look up, you know, most watched television shows, you'll see things like the Super Bowl or the World Cup or whatever. Many millions. But For television in the United States, or for the news, if you get 1 million viewers, that's a big deal. It's a lot of people. Our peak at Duck Dynasty was like 14 million. And I was just a lowly field producer way down on the totem pole. But it was still one of the biggest shows at the time. And I thought, coming off of that show, I was hot snot on a silver platter. And I thought, coming back to, you know, for my first time, actually moving to Hollywood permanently for my first time, I thought I was going to be just waltz in the door and be like, hey, what you got for me? And it was not like that at all. It was quite humbling, actually, because I ended up being homeless for a stint. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get other contacts. Because if the truth is to be told, I didn't leave that show on the best footing. I had a disagreement. I can't talk super in depth about what happened, whatever. I left that show, or was given leave, you might say, and I started looking for new work. Now, I met production designer Johnny Love, who you can check out at johnny-love.com. I met him on that show, and he ended up giving me more work than anybody. And when I got back to Los Angeles, I was really scrapping. I was trying to find anything I could. I didn't know what to do. I was working at a boat rental company in Marina del Rey, and they would let me use the showers down there on the boat dock. And I was actually living in a convertible Jeep Wrangler two-door with my dog, believe it or not. We would sleep in the parking lot uncomfortably, but I was young and I was ready to scrap it out. And I didn't care. I felt alive. I felt like I was doing something. I felt invigorated, even though I was definitely also depressed. And if you hear snoring in the background, that's my dog. She's trying to sleep through this tropical storm that's raging outside. I'm coming to you today from an Airbnb in Tampa, Florida. I'm on the road. Big developments. Oh, now she's going to start squealing. Let's see if we can hear her. Oh, hear that? She's having one of those dog dreams where she runs around and her feet kick. Well, I can remember her having those dreams while we were sleeping together in the back of a two-door Jeep Wrangler. And if you know a two-door Jeep Wrangler, you know that there's not enough room for a boy and his dog to sleep. It's quite cramped. It was a very challenging time, and I needed work. And Johnny ended up connecting me with a guy named Chris Partida. Shout out to Chris Partida, art director extraordinaire. And he was directing, and helping a show called Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars, which was shooting in a mansion in the Hollywood Hills. And you can go watch this, season 5. A lot of famous people on there. And I was hired to be the greensman on that show. What is a greensman? A greensman is the person in charge of all of the plants on a show. The trees, the flowers, the potted plants. Anytime there's anything growing on a show, somebody has to water those things. Sometimes shows take weeks and weeks and weeks to shoot. I ended up working on this show for 6 weeks. And it was incredible because my job was to maintain a $40,000 greens budget, which meant there were $40,000. I might be exaggerating. Maybe it was 20. I want to say it was 40, though. It was the most obscene amount of money spent on plants that I had ever heard in my life. It may have been 20. That might be me inflating it. Still an obscene amount of money to spend on plants to make sure that people looked like they were in a very lush, abundant environment, when in reality we were shooting in the very, very dry, fire-prone Hollywood Hills in the middle of the summer. My job was to make sure that the plants didn't die. This included all of the indoor plants that were rented, all of the outdoor plants, which were replaced almost on a daily basis to make sure they looked happy and green. If you want to see some pictures from this, you can go check out my Instagram, @the_real_MaverickMatthews. I know that's annoying to type in, but you only have to do it once. And scroll back in my feed and look for some of the pictures of me in front of a giant mansion. Cholo Day is on there. We all dressed up like cholos. No cultural appropriation or disparagement. This was my first real job in Hollywood. It lasted 6 weeks, and my rate was $150 a day. Now, that was lower than probably the production assistants were getting paid, the PAs, who are the lowly folks on a set. And I worked as a PA on Duck Dynasty before I got promoted to producer. The PAs empty the trash cans. They clean up, you know, the mess. They are the first in and the last out. But that's where you start on the totem pole, and you move up. Greensman, if you're in the union, is, you know, you can get $500, $600, $700 a day if you're a professional. Well, I was brand new, and I just needed a job. And Chris Partita was cool enough to bring me on, and I was excited to have this much work and to be able to quit my day job. It was a big deal to me, and to work full-time on a Hollywood production. And it led to bigger and better things. It led to, well, it led to me dating the same woman as the artist formerly known as Prince, actually. I'm not going to out this woman's name here, but you could find out who this is. I've talked about her on other shows. It made me Eskimo Brothers with some pretty famous actors. Yeah, I don't want to give too many details about who she was because you'll be able to figure it out. But she and I met on this set and we started dating. And at one point, Prince and I were both dating her at the same time, and I ended up losing out to Prince. Now, this was the summer before Prince died. I was bummed out because I was really excited to meet him, regardless of the fact that I lost. I lost out to him in the dating of this woman. But she was inspiring, and he was inspiring, and here I was, finally on a Hollywood set, watering the plants, walking around with a water backpack, spraying a $20,000 greens budget, or $40,000, or whatever it was. And we had so much fun on the set. Every day I would get there super early. I would essentially hide from the cameras. I would replant plants in the ground before they shot in certain areas. I would make sure everything looked tropical and incredible. If you scroll down to any of the really tropical-looking scenes in my Instagram, you can see dripping water from plants and everything. That was all me. I was making things look lush and beautiful in the middle of a desert. And it was exciting, and I was getting paid garbage. Probably less than minimum wage if you really count the hours out. But I'm not angry or bitter whatsoever. I have no qualms. I was super grateful to be there. And if you want to move forward in life, you have to work for garbage for a while. And you have to give more than you're getting paid. You have to give more than you get. And the universe sees that and it moves you forward. I don't know why this is. I don't pretend to have any answers, but that's how it is. So I came every day and my doggy would hang out in my car because I didn't even have a place to live yet. And so I'd park and she'd chill in the Jeep all day and I would work. And it was incredible. I was so grateful to be there. And it got to the point where I had dialed in my job so tightly that all the extra plants I took and I created a little grotto behind one of the side buildings at this giant mansion where we were shooting the show. And I set up a hammock. And after I had finished all my duties, I would go back there and and burn one and hang out and just think about how ridiculous it was that people were spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to shoot this show that was supposedly a marriage boot camp for people who were faking relationships, who were not even involved with each other. They're just pretending to be for the sake of the show. I can't get into any details because non-disclosure agreements in Hollywood are very serious. And most of my nest egg savings, whatever, what have you, has been endangered at multiple points in my life, but most recently by a very Johnny Depp, Amber Heard style divorce, which I'm sure we're going to have future episodes about, but I'm not going to go into here. Suffice to say, I was scraping by, but it felt incredible. I was so grateful to be there. And it allowed me to be around people who were crushing it, who were at the top of their game. And because I was invested in my fitness, because I was invested in my nutrition, because mostly I brought the top level energy. You know, one of the things that you'll hear me say about Hollywood over and over and over is that there are so many capable people there. There are so many capable people that they can hire any of them for any job. And what ends up happening is there's a lot of nepotism in Hollywood. Nepotism meaning they hire people they like. They're not going to read your resume. Everybody can get the job done. They want to be around people that make them feel good. If you want to move forward in this world, make people feel good. Make people excited to have you come to work. And I realized this early on. I just wanted to have fun. I wanted to have a good time. I wanted others to enjoy my presence. And that, more than anything else, moved my career forward. That is the honest truth. I certainly lost sight of this at different stages, where I would get high on myself, I'd get too big for my britches, and I would start complaining. Why aren't these pickups ready? Why isn't this? Why isn't that? Blah, blah, blah. You know what? Focus. Jim Morrison said it best. Specialize in having fun. Because when you specialize in having fun, other people want to be around you. Other people want the experience that you're having. But not if it's fake. You have to be having fun for real. And if you're having fun for real, what you're doing is teaching others how to have fun. Think about that. Teach other people how to divest themselves of the baggage they're carrying around, of the skeletons in their closet. I'm not talking about denial here. I'm talking about carrying your baggage with dignity. There's nothing worse than a complainer. I have been a complainer at many stations in my life. But I can honestly tell you that when I was the most successful, when I was earning the most money, when I was having the most fun, when I felt the most alive, it was when I was focusing on how lucky I was. This is why you hear so many people talk about gratitude. I am so grateful that Prince and I were dating the same woman the summer before he died. Not because he died, not because it's a great story to tell, but because all of a sudden I found myself in a situation where I was right next to the top producers artistically in the universe. The people who were inspiring others at such a level that it wanted to make people change their lives. It helped them get over their individual challenges. If there's anything I aspire to do with Mindfire, that name is not a coincidence. I want to set my own mind on fire, and I want to bring you along for the ride. I want you to come with me. Our country is facing real challenges. Everybody knows that. I don't have to sit here and articulate them. You could make the argument that my last podcast on Pepper for Your Steak was kind of a bummer. And I don't mean to say that you shouldn't indulge those deeply introspective moments. You should, and there's a reason I released it. We are supposed to indulge those deeply introspective moments. It's important to indulge them. They need to be acknowledged, and they need to be carried forward with dignity. Just like every day when I put that watering backpack on and I went out to water the plants, there was a part of me that said to myself, dude, you're essentially just a gardener. But I was a gardener on a Hollywood set that had to wave to security as I got there, that had craft services bringing me smoothies, where I could go get water or treats or whatever I wanted any time during the day if I needed a snack. People were taking care of us so we could do our job. It didn't matter how much money I was making. I wasn't making any money. But I was still making some. I was still pushing the ball forward. I was still pushing the stone up the hill every day. And that's what we all have to do. And if you can find a way to do that enthusiastically, I promise you, your stone will somehow feel lighter. And so I worked on that set. I made myself available. I volunteered. I rode around on golf carts. I canoed around in goofy boats. I watered the plants. I planted the plants. I climbed up onto the roof with my coworkers and smoked joints. I rode around in golf carts up into the hills with the homeowners, with the property managers. We snuck off. We did our dirty deeds. I ended up meeting an incredible woman who the elites of the industry valued. And that meant I was circulating in a pond that was rarefied. You know how you get to the rarefied pond? You focus on having fun. You focus on what is good. You focus on what is momentary, what is present. It's not about the clothes you wear, because I never wore any fucking... Oops, I have to beep that out. I never wore any labels. I wasn't dressing the part. Don't fall for these celebrities that are fancy, that sell $100 t-shirts, that sell $10,000 shoes. That is not what true art is about. What true art is about is inspiration. And if there's anything I aspire to do here on Mindfire, it's to cultivate and give away gratitude and inspiration. Why? Because that, above everything else, is what has moved me forward in life, and that's what's going to inspire my son. And the reason I do this show is the same reason I do my other podcast, is the same reason I'm writing my book, is the same reason I do everything. It's because I want to leave behind a legacy that's bigger than me. Not because my ego needs to be remembered forever, but because the best metric to judge whether what you're doing is worthy is the impact it has on other people. I don't need it to have an impact on thousands of people. One or two is fine. I get messages all the time on Instagram or on my website or wherever. And those messages say, thank you. I'm not saying this to play my own horn, to wax my own car here. I'm saying that's the only affirmation I need to know that what I'm doing is meaningful. And if you're looking for the meaning in what you're doing, just ask yourself, are you doing it for yourself? Are you inspiring yourself? Because if you're inspiring yourself, chances are you're inspiring others. Excuse me. The muses. Ah, the muses caught me up there. Slow down, egomaniac. Ah, what a strange medium we're in. I'll tell you what. We're about to transition to the music here, so don't judge me for these words. Don't judge me for my fancy pants career in Hollywood. It was nothing compared to a lot of people. All the people that I was super lucky to work with, I'll never be at the level of Kevin Costner or Ryan Reynolds, but I don't need to be. Because that's not my path. My path is right here with you. And that sounds cheesy, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. So check this electronic music out. We're going to switch to it right now. I promise you, it's going to inspire you. I hope you're ready to train. I hope you planned your exercise around this. Because this one crushes. Now, I usually call this baby-making music, but for whatever reason, this particular DJ set, it's a little more intense and upbeat than my usual down-tempo. It's still at the same speed. But I'll tell you what. If this doesn't get you going, then electronic music, you may not have been properly taught to digest. So if you're in a place where it's legal, toke up, because it's time. All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you for indulging the story. Working on Marriage Boot Camp Season 5 as a greensman was an incredible experience for me, and I only got it because I made a connection with another friend, because we enjoyed having fun on set. If you're looking for the way forward, go and find something that inspires you to have fun and connect with the people around you, because they and that experience will lead you to what's next. You're listening to Mindfire on Fringe FM, and my name is Maverick Matthews. Music time.
So he's faster than the computer. He has a pen and paper in front of him, and he can outperform the world's fastest computer with his own brain. 2.5 years into it, in like 1949, the computer beats him. And he made a statement then that said, one day, artificially intelligent machines will be the ruin of man.
We'll be right back. We're going ballistic, man. Go get him.
We'll be right back.
one day, artificially intelligent machines will be the ruin of man.